storms calling, chains are falling, hope is dawning, bright and true. Day is breaking, night is quaking, God is making all things new. Jesus saves. Hear the heart of heaven beating. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the hush of mercy breathing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Hearts adore him. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the wisest bow before him. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. See the sky alive with grace, melting darkness in its place. There is light forevermore in Jesus saves.
He will live our sorrow sharing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. He will die our burden bearing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. In his love we'll shout the cross. Christ has paid redemption's cost, while the empty tomb's declaring Jesus saves. Freedom's calling, chains are falling, hope is dawning, bright and true. Day is breaking, night is quaking, God is making all things new. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. O'er the saints who shout together. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Rising up so fast and strong, lifting up salvation's song. The redeemed will sing forever, Jesus saves. Rising up so fast and strong, lifting up salvation's song. Sing forever. Jesus saves.
Jesus saves.
Jesus saves.
Jesus saves.
Jesus saves.
No greater words have ever fallen upon human ears. Jesus saves. Praise the Lord. What a message in song. And what a message we have to share with a world that is steeped in darkness. Jesus is the hope that every man, woman, boy, and girl needs. And I pray that if you're here today and you do not know him, that you would receive that message and make it a reality in your heart, because indeed Jesus does save.
Amen.
And I'm glad that I've experienced the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ. Nothing like it, brethren.
That's right.
Nothing like
Amen.
It. And I'm glad that Jesus saves. Well, today is Mother's Day. And usually on Mother's Day, I try to go through the Bible and choose out a good godly mother, and the Bible is full of them that I could use to encourage the ladies of this fellowship. You know, oftentimes when men or when people speak of Fellowship Baptist Church, they speak of the good men, the strong leadership, the good male leadership that God has given us here, and He has. God's given us good men. Men of faith and virtue and leadership, and I'm very grateful to that as the pastor. But I think that all good men realize behind every good man stands a good, faithful woman. And I'm thankful for the good ladies that make up Fellowship Baptist Church. Just good, godly ladies, and I'm appreciative of the ladies of this congregation. And I want to try to encourage you today. Back in our missions revival, when Brother Halsey was here, he spoke on a subject that intrigued me. It got my interest. It piqued my interest a little bit. You may recall that service. Actually, if you were here, I don't think you could have forgotten that service. He's talked about what it is to raise a missionary, and he used Zebedee. And he talked about Zebedee as the father of James and John, and how that Zebedee's example as a man and as a servant helped mold these two men to serve God with their lives. And so I went home and I began to look at those scriptures, and I got to noticing something that, well, was very interesting to me. And as I began to search, God just made it very clear in my heart, this is what I'd like for you to talk about and to speak on for Mother's Day. Because just as Zebedee enlightened me as we began to look into the scriptures with Dr. Halsey, I was also enlightened as I began to look at the mother of Zebedee's sons. And I want to talk to you about her. The Bible has given her a name, and perhaps you know that name. Not very many people realize that there's another side of Zebedee, and she has a name. And behind every good man stands a good woman. Her name is Salome. And we'll talk about her today. Salome. And the impact that she had on two young men's lives. The impact that she had is in her ambition for her children. We live in a day where parents have a lot of different ambitions for their children. There are some parents, I believe, that would spend the night in hell if their children could be popular. You know, the most popular child in the class or the school, if they could just be, you know, what they aspire them to be as far as worldly speaking. But here's a woman, here's a mother that had spiritual goals and desires for her children, and I think that they're to be merited. I think they're to be duplicated, and I hope that today that there's some ladies within our congregation that will be inspired by this woman. Now, many people, when you read this scripture, many people have taken this passage of scripture, like so often in other passages of scripture, and they've kind of twisted it and said that she was wrong in coming, and she was wrong, and Jesus rebuked her. I do not see a rebuke here. Actually, if you'll read this passage of scripture very carefully, you'll never see where Jesus told this woman it was not going to be. He just said it was not in his hands to do it, that was up to the Father. He never said no. He never told her that what she was asking was ridiculous and out of character and it shouldn't be asked. He just simply said, there's just some things that are not left into the Son's hands, they're up to the Father. So let's look at this woman. Before I do, I want to say once again, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. And I want to say to my wife how I thank God for her as a wife and a mother. What a wonderful lady. You know, I read something a few months ago, and it reminded me of how blessed I am. I read about a man who got on a bus. And as he got on the bus, he noticed that there was a man sitting across from him, and that man had his wedding band on his pointing finger. And he looked at him, and he said, "Sir," he said, "I noticed you have a wedding band, but you've got it on your pointing finger, your index finger." He said, what's the deal with that? He said, do you realize that you've got your ring on the wrong finger? Why do you have your ring on the wrong finger? And he said, "Because I married the wrong woman." I want to say today, without a shadow of a doubt, I married the right woman. I am so thankful for you, Sharon. Great wife, better mother. I'm glad that Sharon is the mother of my children. I believe every husband ought to feel that way. If you don't, it's probably not your wife's fault or their mother's fault. There's probably something twisted in you. Mothers are a wonderful thing, aren't they? You know, someone has said it, and they said it aptly, and I can say it about my wife, and I hope that each of you men can say it. The only thing greater than my wife being my wife is the fact that she's my children's mother. And it's just comforting to know that when your wife is a great mother to your children, it's a wonderful thing. And so I trust that all of you on this day will remember the special lady that we get to call mother. Mother. Perhaps your mother's in heaven. And if she is, well, that doesn't mean you can't recall her and remember her. And it doesn't have to be with tears of sadness. It can just be with tears of gladness, knowing that she's gone on before you and she's waiting for you and that reunion on the other side. And brethren, I'm here to tell you that there's a grand, glad reunion coming for the believers. It's a wonderful time when we will meet again with our mothers. Say, where will that be, preacher? In heaven? Well, I don't know. The Bible, I believe with all my heart it'll be in the air. Because the Bible says that Jesus is going to bring some with him when he comes to get us. And if your mother is going on, there'll be a grand reunion day. What a day that'll be. Ladies, can I just speak to you from my heart this morning about the importance of the role that God has given you in life? Now, I'm going to be a little bit out of my element. This may mean nothing to some of you, but I'm an expository preacher. I go line by line, verse by verse, word by word, but today's going to be a little bit what might be coined topical because of the content of the message. And I've done everything I could to make it expositional, but I just, you know, in order to be true to the Scriptures, I'm going to have to ask you to turn some. And so I want you to find these places so that you can learn some things about this lady that I believe God wants us to learn about. Look in the Bible, if you would, about this lady. Her name, again, in verse number 20, she's called the mother of Zebedee's children. The mother of Zebedee's children. You know, this lady came to Jesus, and this is the first word I want that I look when I see and I look at this passage of Scripture about this woman, I see her approach. And I'd like for you to write that word down or just somehow get it in your mind. The way that this woman approaches Jesus tells us something about her. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. She came worshiping. When I studied this lady, and you're going to have to turn a few chapters back into chapter number, or forward to chapter 27, we find that this woman shows up again. This mother of Zebedee's children shows up later on, and we find some things about her character. It certainly tells us, as the Bible says here, when she approached Jesus, she was worshiping him. Mothers, can I tell you that there's probably no greater thing you can do in life than to worship Jesus Christ. And there's certainly nothing greater you can do with your children than for your children to be in the presence of you as you're worshiping Jesus Christ. One of the greatest things that your children can know about you is that you worship the God of heaven. And here the Bible says that when she came to Jesus, she didn't come just asking something for herself or asking that something would happen so that she could be seen and known of others. She had a desire deep in her heart. And this desire was for her boys. It was for her children. And as she came, she didn't come just with a request. She came with reverence in her heart, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 27, look if you would in Matthew 27 in verse number 55. It's what the Bible says here. It says in verse number 55, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Now here's some things about this woman that you need to keep in your mind. Here was a woman that was right there by the cross, though she was afar off, the Bible says in verse number 55, she was afar off, beholding the crucifixion. Did you know at this time that every disciple that the Lord had chosen had forsaken him? Every one of them. But here was this group of women, this small group of women that stuck with him all the way to the cross. I think that says a lot about this mother. I think it was teaching her son something, who, by the way, were two of those disciples that forsook him. It was teaching her children, you don't ever quit, son. You don't ever quit. Listen, days are not always sunny and sunshine. Days are not always easy. Things are not always going to go the way you desire them to go. But nonetheless, you stick with God. You stay with Jesus. Don't you ever quit on God. I think that's a great strong message that she's sending here. Notice again what it says here in verse number 55 of Matthew 27. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Look at verse 56. Among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. There she is. She was in that group of women, that small group of women that wouldn't turn back, that wouldn't give up, that wouldn't throw in the towel. They said, no, I'm going to stick with this because I have a testimony to uphold. I have something in my heart that will not allow me to turn the other way. I'm going to stay because my children, if nothing else, need to see some stickability in my life. You know, there's times in all of our lives, whether we want to admit it or not, that we do what we do for the sake of other people. Now, listen, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, and it's the best way. Listen, they say honesty is the best policy, and there's nothing better as far as a policy than to be honest, certainly with other people, but we have to learn what it is to be honest with ourselves. And if I'm honest with myself, and God knows I want to be, there's just times in my life, as our children were growing up, I didn't really do what I did for God. I didn't do really what I did for what was right. I did it because my children were watching me. And I wanted to teach them a principle. And that is, don't you ever quit on God. The desire may not have been in my heart, but the thought that my children were watching me was. Now, I believe every parent, if we would be honest, would say, you know, I've been there, preacher. And I'm not so sure. I can't judge the motive of these women's heart. I can't judge it. I'll tell you this. It was rough around that cross. There were cruel, dark, wicked men. I mean, rough, rugged men, as we studied just a few weeks back around the cross. And so they knew that their safety was in jeopardy, and yet they stood afar off because they did not want to give or send the wrong message. The Bible goes on to say, if you would look in Mark chapter number 14, chapter 15, I'm sorry, we learn even something more about this woman, Salome. We get her name. Until this time, she's referred to as a mother. The mother of Zebedee's children. Now, you know who Zebedee's children are, John and James. And when you begin to study these boys' lives, you begin to realize the strength of the character of the parents who trained them, as we shall see before the message is through. Look in Mark chapter number 15. Look, if you would, in verse number 40, what the Bible says here. The Bible says in Mark 15, in verse number 40, there were also women looking on afar off. Now, this is that same passage of Scripture. It's in timing that we read in Matthew, but we get a little extra information that Mark gives us. They were afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joses, and here it is, the mother of Zebedee's children. Instead of saying the mother of Zebedee's children is Matthew, Mark gives us her name, Salome. Now, I want you to notice what these women did. When you read this without really researching it, you'll think, okay, so they just stuck with Jesus as he went to the cross. But notice it again. Look in verse number 41. Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Now, from Galilee to Jerusalem is approximately 68 miles. So please don't think that these women just kind of walked around the block. to be there with Jesus when he was going through this brutality, when he was going through the crucifixion. They stuck it out. Women of character, women of stickability, of faith, they stuck it out. And the Bible wants us to know that these were mothers. Listen, it says Mary, the mother of James the Less and of Joses, and Salome, who we know is the mother of James and John. You see, the Spirit of God wants us to know that here are some women who had many other duties as a mother. And every mother in here knows all the duties, and every man ought to know the duties that mothers have. And yet these women put Jesus as a priority of their life. What's this teaching? It's teaching great character. It's teaching your children to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's teaching principle. The Bible says that not only in verse number 41, when Jesus traveled, the Bible says, notice in verse number 1, they followed him. Isn't that a great lesson to teach your children? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. This message that I'm preaching this morning is called The Ambitions of a Godly Mother. You know what ambition is? It's desire. It's desire that is brought about through determination and hard work. It's not easy to be a mother. It's not easy to be a father. It's not easy to be a servant of Jesus Christ, but it's right. Sometimes what we do for our children and with our children may not be easy. We ought not to always seek the easy way or the popular way. We ought to seek the best way. The best way. That's why when this woman came before Jesus, she said, Jesus, I have a desire. I have a desire that I want to ask of you. As a matter of fact, you're in Mark 15. Turn back, if you would, to Mark 10, and we'll read Mark's account of that when she came before Jesus. I want to show you a principle here. You'll find in this scripture in Mark chapter 10, you'll find what is paralleled as we read this morning in Matthew 20, where the Bible says that she came to Jesus asking this, but here Mark says that the two boys did. Now, what does that mean? I'm glad that the Spirit of God moved on Mark's heart to tell us that the two boys did. You know why? Because this was not just something that her mother aspired for her sons. She had instilled some things in those boys, along with her husband Zebedee. Notice in Mark 10, look in verse number 35, I believe it is. Let me find my place here. In verse number 35, here it is. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand, in thy glory. Now, why did I read that verse of scripture to you? Because I want you to see that this is not just some far-fetched aspiration that a mother had for her children. She had so trained her children, she had so instilled some things in her boys that they wanted to be all they could be for God. We want to be all we can be for you, Lord. We want to be the best. Not the best on a ball field. Not the best as far as being popular and being in the elite club. But we want to be the best when it comes to the kingdom of God. I think that's a great thing. Now, there's nothing wrong being the best down at the workplace. As a matter of fact, if you're a Christian, you ought to be the best. Amen? There's nothing wrong with being the best in the class. You ought to give it your all and be the best you can be in the classroom. There's certainly nothing wrong with being the best in anything you do. The Bible says whatever we do, we ought to do with all that's within us. We ought to give it all we've got, brethren. But I appreciate a mother who will say, God, I want my children not just to be the best, but I want them to be the best for you. Is that not what Salome was asking for her children? God, you're going to get a kingdom. Just think about that for a moment. Grant that one may sit on the left and one on the right when thou comest into thy kingdom. In other words, you're the king, and you're going to set up a kingdom. What's she teaching her boys? This life is not all there is. This life is not all there is. She's teaching some great, valuable lessons here that as parents we need to get a hold of and realize this life is not all there is. You don't just live for this life. Now, you certainly want to live this life, But this life is not all there is. There's a life to come. And we need to store up some treasures, and we need to look forward to that day and the life that is to come. And teach our children that we're not like just some animal. You don't just live and die and decay. Amen. Brethren, we're being, this thing is being pumped and pumped to where, well, no, this life is all theirs. Go for the gusto. Just, you know, live and let live. No, no, no. We are to invest, certainly in this life, but we're to invest in the life which is to come. We're to teach our children about eternal things. And so, when I look at this woman, Salome, I see a mother who had her children's interest in mind. You know, I've said that the greatest thing, and I've said this from this pulpit, if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. The greatest thing that you can do with your life is live it for Jesus. Can I tell you, Dad, Mother, on Mother's Day, the greatest thing you can do with your life, secondly, is to teach your children to live for Jesus. You ought to teach your children to live for Jesus. Here's a woman who had these things in mind. Who were her sons? Well, let's see. One of them was referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. If you read through the book of St. John, you'll find where he is repeatedly referring to himself in this spirit of humility. You say, what do you mean the spirit of humility, preacher? Now, listen to me now. He didn't say the disciple who loved Jesus. He said the disciple whom Jesus loves. That's humility. See, if we walk around talking about how much we love Jesus, if we're not careful, that'll foster pride in our lives. Hey, everybody, listen how much I love Jesus. But when we walk around talking about how much Jesus loves us, that fosters humility. I'm glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so thankful. You know why John referred to himself, I believe this all of my heart, as the disciple whom Jesus loved? Now, he meant that because of his mother. I believe that. You see, while Zebedee, the Bible clearly indicates that Zebedee owned a fishing business. As a matter of fact, Jesus was walking by the shore of Galilee, and we may look at this before the end of the message today. We'll see. As he was walking by, he called them to come from Zebedee's boat, James and John, to follow him. You know what the Bible says? Immediately they followed him. Some might say, well, boy, Zebedee, he trained them right. Can I tell you, before those boys got old enough to get on the boat, somebody was training them. Just like every man in this room right here. Before you got old enough to work with Dad, you were sitting on somebody's lap, and it probably wasn't Dad. There was a godly mother teaching us some things about life, or a godly grandmother that was teaching us some things about life, instilling some character, instilling some principle in our life. And I thank God for good fathers. I want to be a good father. And I believe many of you are good fathers. But I thank God for good mothers too. So what about this woman? What can you find out about it? Well, I can find out that there were 12 disciples and 2 of them were her sons. I think that means something. Now, you think about all the men that were alive during that era. All of them. 2 of them was the mother of Zebedee's children, Salome. So, well, Zebedee gets all the credit. Don't think so. Don't think so. Can I give you one other thing about her that I think is very important? Did you notice it? Go back, if you would, to Matthew 27. There's this person that keeps being named among these women with Salome that I think says a lot about Salome, the mother of James and John. In Matthew 27, look at verse number 56. Verse number 55 talks about the women that were following. And we know that Salome was in that. See that name there, Mary Magdalene? What do you know about Mary Magdalene? So, well, she was a fine, upstanding citizen in the community, preacher. She was the who's who. She made the who's who's list on the most elite women in the community. Now, that's not what you know about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene had 7 devils and lived a a very wicked life. But you got saved. And you know what Salome did? Salome didn't isolate herself from Mary Magdalene. Salome didn't keep away from her and say, well, you know, I know what kind of background she came from. Salome was right in there with her. Salome was right there with her. Teaching. Not only those around her, but no doubt her boys. Listen, you don't always look at people as what they are. You look at what they can be. You know a mistake that a lot of Christians make? We're always looking at what people used to be. We need to be looking at what people are by the grace of God. Amen. And I think this says a lot about this woman. I really do. Now let me give you a couple of thoughts and then I'll be through today. All right? Think with me about this. Number one, here's a woman who came to Jesus, and go back to, and we'll close here in chapter number 20. This is where we'll close it out. By the way, I'll just give you this. It's just something to take home with you. When you read John 19, you might want to write that scripture down. John 19, verse 25 and 26. There's a very strong indication that Salome was Mary, the mother of Jesus' sister. All right? Just read John 19, 25 and 26. And there's a very heavy indication that she was sister, and that somehow that they were connected with the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet when she's referred to, it's as a mother, not as the sister of Mary, not as the person who took in Mary Magdalene or who befriended her, a mother. You know why? It's a high calling. It's a very high calling. You know, I get a little disturbed when people, you know, you're talking and you're in conversation and somebody might ask a question. So tell me, ma'am, you know, what do you do? Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Oh, really? Well, hey, listen, that's the highest calling you can receive in life. You're a mother. No, listen, not that there'd be anything wrong if you were anything else, but listen, a mother is the highest. Can I tell you the highest calling that I have in life is a father? I'm a father. You say, even before a preacher? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if I don't run my own home well, how am I going to rule the house of God? God has placed the emphasis on the home. It's the home, brethren. It's the home. And somehow we've gotten away from it. We think, well, it's the business. Well, it's the community. Well, it's the church. Well, it's the country. Well, it's the Oval Office. No, it's the home. It's the home. Was it Napoleon Bonaparte that said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world? You know? Hey, we have to understand the importance of what it is to be a mother. And we need to respect that position. And so, ladies, don't you ever, ever let anyone discount or discredit the fact that you're a mother and that you're training up those little children to serve Jesus with their life. It's the highest and greatest calling you can receive in life. Now, it's not the only calling, but it's the highest. And I pray that you would receive it that way. We're in Matthew 20. And let's look at this one more time. So in Matthew 20, and the Bible says in verse number 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. I like that. I like it. You know, we live in a day where people are sending their children to church. Now, I'm glad we have a bus ministry, and I'm thankful for those that work in the bus ministry. I am. Matter of fact, next Sunday's Bus Sunday. We're going to be placing special emphasis on the bus ministry. And I appreciate every person at Fellowship Baptist Church that works in the bus ministry. But children are not to be sent to church. They're to be brought to church as a family. Did you notice what the Bible says here about this woman? The Bible says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him. I like that. I really do. I praise God for ladies who understand the importance. And I realize, listen, there's a lot goes on. Sometimes we men, we can be a little, well, I don't know. Should I say this on Mother's Day? We can be a little slack. I mean, mom gets up. She cooks the breakfast. She gets herself ready. She gets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how many children ready? And we're out in the car with it started, racing the engine. You know, come on, woman. You know, what takes you so long? Right? Huh? I hope no man here does that, and I'm not saying that anyone would. But there just might be somebody here, just one, that would do something like that. Mothers have a heavy responsibility. And here was a mother who didn't think it was too much to have her boys with her. It says in verse number 20, her sons with her, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. Now she desired this for her boys. Can I ask you a question, Mom? What's your desire for your children? Really? What's your desire for your children? Well, I hope they're valedictorian. I hope they make a lot of money. I hope they have an outstanding career. Is that it? Look at this mother's desire. He asked her, "What wilt thou?" She said unto him, "Grant that these two, that my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." That's great. That's great aspiration. It's great. I want my children to serve you with their life. Now, how did you see that in that preacher? Because the Bible clearly teaches, and Jesus taught it while he was here. If you do not serve with him, you are not going to reign with him. Did Jesus teach that very clearly, brethren? He certainly did. He certainly did. And so when she's asking this, she's not just asking for a special favor for her boys. She said, our boys want to serve you with their life. And as we saw in Mark, they did, because they asked it themselves. They were all asking. Watch this, if you would. Even when Jesus said in verse 21 unto her, "What wilt thou?" And she said unto him, "Grant that these two my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand, in thy kingdom." Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and of the baptism with, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Now, what's he saying? You realize that this is going to be suffering. Yeah. The cup, the bitter cup. You realize this is going to be suffering. You're not going to be popular. There's a lot of things that's going to happen that you may not like as a mother, but I want you to watch the answer. Look, if you would, in verse number 22, they say unto him, "We are able." We're willing. If we have to suffer persecution, if we have to suffer isolation, whatever we suffer, we're willing to do it because we realize what you have done for us. We love you that much. I want my children to love Jesus that much. I do. I believe you do. I really do. But it doesn't just happen. I fear that sometimes we've fallen into this trap to, well, you know what, if we own a Bible and mention God every now and then, say grace occasionally, and attend church when we have time, our children are going to turn out to be spiritual people. I don't think so. I think it is a concentrated effort of training up the children in the way they should go and instilling some things in them. But the most important thing is set the example. You think Zebedee was a good example? Do you? I think the Bible proves that he was a good example. You think Salome was a good example? Yeah. You think James and John, just some mistake that they turned out to be two of the 12 disciples, two of the three of the inner circle? Can I tell you, there's 27 books in the New Testament. One of these boys wrote five of them. We talk a lot about the books that Paul wrote. John wrote five of them. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the Gospel of John, and the book of the Revelation. Isn't that something? Because this mother, these parents, had a desire, a spiritual desire. They had some priorities for their children, for their family. Now, Jesus never told them, and I want to say this and we'll be through. They said in verse number 22, "We're able," which I'm doing no harm to the scripture here. They're saying, "We're willing. We're willing." Now, I don't think they understood all they were asking here, but I believe with all of my heart, they were willing in their heart. They meant this. This was not just some frivolous thing that they're playing around with. They meant this. I wonder how serious your children, my children, are about serving God. has a lot to do with how serious we are about serving God. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, there may be someone sitting here today that would say, "Preacher, I've messed up." Jesus told them, he said, "It's not for me now." In verse number 23, he said, "It's not mine to give, but it shall be given to them of whom it is prepared by of my Father." He said, now God's going to take care of those things. So I can't say that that's going to happen. I'm not going to say it's not. He just said, "It's not mine to give." And while there may be some folks sitting here say, "Preacher, I blew it. My children's done grown and I just didn't do as I should. I'm done." Can I say something right here just for a moment? Once a mother, always a mother. Once a parent, always a parent. Don't ever give up on your children. Don't ever give up on your children. Don't ever do that. See, these boys, when mom was asking this, I don't think they were knee high. I don't. Because Matthew 4 comes before Matthew 20. And Matthew does kind of write in more of a chronological order. They were called as men from Zebedee's boat to follow Jesus. And then in chapter number 20, we find this account in the Scripture. You can have desires for your children even after they're out of the home. Even when they have set up shop and made home for themselves. Our children are always going to watch our lives, brethren. I pray to God that my children will always come home and ask, "What do you think, Dad? What do you think, Mom?" I don't ever want to close that door. Don't you ever close that door. Now, you may be here and you may be thinking, "Preacher, I blew it. I blew it." Well, I guess in some ways we all could say that. None of us are perfect parents, right? We say all the time there are no perfect children. And the reason for that is because there are no perfect parents. We've all, in some way, blew it. But you don't have to give up. Keep serving God. Be an example to your children. And then those children will have children. Be there for those. All right? Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. You can still be an influence. You can still have an impact on your children. Ladies, I thank God for you. I pray that you would aspire to be like old James and John's mother, Salome. What a good lady. When we think of the great ladies of the Bible, we may think of Eunice and Lois, you know, Timothy's mother and grandmother. You may think of Mary and Elizabeth. You may think of Sarah and Hannah. From this day forward, I pray that we would think of Salome. She's a good mother. She really was. She had great aspirations for her boys. She wanted her boys to serve Jesus with their life. What do you want from your children? What's your desire? Let's stand to our feet. What's your desire for your children?